Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your phone calls and your emails on this First Amendment Friday. We celebrate your First Amendment rights of free speech, free expression, and the right to associate with anyone you want to associate with. Now, I want to ask you about this. You've seen what happened when wildfire smoke got into New York City, and all of a sudden the elites were breathing that orange air. And you've seen the same kind of thing happen this year in Seattle. They're breathing smoky air as well. And in recent history in the Pacific Northwest, we've seen plenty of occasions where the smoke went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. So the perfect guy to talk to, the man who usually doesn't get interviewed by the mainstream media, is the guy who knows the subject very well, Dr. Bob Zybak, forest scientist, president of Northwest Maps Company, and the author of The Great Fires, Indian Burning and Catastrophic Forest Fire Patterns of the Oregon Coast Range, 1491 to 1951. It covers quite a span. Dr. Zybak, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Lars. Good to be back.
I'm glad to have you here because I want you to prepare my audience. I know this summer we're likely to get even more smoke in the Pacific Northwest. We're going to have fires. We've gone from the 30-year period you talk about frequently, from I think the mid-50s to the mid-80s, where we had essentially no large fires in the forest. 30 years of no large fires at all, and now routinely 500,000 acres burns in Oregon, 500,000 acres, I think, on an average year burns in Washington, and we'll expect to have fires this year as well. And I know to a fair certainty, the people in charge are going to say, yep, it's all evidence of global warming. Help prepare them with some answers for those people who say those things to them.
Well, it's all due to fuels and weather. Global warming hasn't happened here, so it can't be global warming. We've got the same weather we've had for centuries. Fire season is the problem. East winds are the danger. So Labor Day fires 2 years ago, we had east winds in early September, so we had massive fires. The real problem is managing the fuels. From 52 to 87, we had one major fire on the Smith River. In 1966, it was 40,000 acres. That's 30-some years with one major fire. It doesn't even compare to Labor Day fires on one day, where close to 1 million acres burnt. So Coast Range doesn't get lightning. Southwest Oregon gets lightning, doesn't have a lot of people, and the Western Cascades gets lightning and has a lot of people. So once we get a heavy east wind, assuming we do, ignition can come from lightning or people, and large fires are the result, and largely because of massive fuel buildups on federal lands over the last 35 years.
Dr. Zybak, there's one thing I hear the media do constantly, and they say wildfires get worse during hot times. Is there anything about a day being either 80 degrees or 105 degrees that makes a difference in terms of fire?
It's the east wind. You can have an 80-degree or 105-degree fire. Maybe at 105 degrees, depending on fuel moisture, you could have a cleaner burn and easier to control by that measure. But it depends. The fire will create its own wind, will create its own weather. They can even create thunderstorms, the big fires. But an east wind is the constant element that goes with all of the major fires in Western Oregon over the last few hundred years.
So when you see these fires, you've studied this subject, you studied 500 years of it, 1491 to 1951. Are there ways to get on top of this problem that where we could prevent these fires instead of merely trying to put them out every year and usually succeeding only to the extent that we contain them to 500,000 acres instead of maybe 10 or 20,000 acres a year on an average year in that period you documented from the 50s to the 80s?
Yes, and it would be the same thing. It would be active management. Right now, the Forest Service and BLM are planning to leave all the snags and large woody debris. Jerry Franklin says a sign of a healthy forest is a lot of dead trees. That'd be like saying a sign of a healthy city is a lot of dead people. It doesn't make sense. That's not healthy. It's a fuel, and it's dangerous. So we used to harvest snags, dead trees, focus on it. We used to maintain the roads and trails and keep them open. We used to have local employment. were local people that knew the roads and the land and the animals were the ones that were doing the logging and the tree planting and so on. And so we didn't have fires. So we know how to mitigate these fires, and that's why they're so predictable. Why myself and others in the early 90s said, if we create these LSRs and government acronyms, we're going to have massive wildfires, and they're going to kill wildlife and some people, destroy homes, and it's going to be at a cost to rural communities that lose the work associated with forest management. So we know how to fix the problem. We just don't.
I'm just curious. Do you have any insights as to why the people who followed you in forest science? I mean, you've been in forest science for decades. Why the people who are now coming into it seem to think that forests that burn on a regular basis or forests with lots of dead fuel on the forest floor are a healthy forest? Why the change?
The indoctrination, Eisenhower warned us that the government would get big computers and put independent scientists out of business. And it's essentially, if you cut to the chase, it's anti-logging activists. A lot of people in the 80s and 90s thought that clear cutting was an evil. And so they picked spotted owls and marbled murrelets and coho as animals that they claimed erroneously, still erroneously, were harmed directly by clear cutting, and got the lawyers in Washington, D.C. and the lawyers on the ground to pursue that. And they've been very, very successful, and wildfires are the predictable result.
I guess what frustrates me is that, Dr. Zybak, most of the forests that burn are not on the private lands. It's not Weyerhaeuser. It's not the private companies like Hampton. It's the public lands, the state lands, the federal lands, the BLM lands, county lands, and that we're passing up a gigantic opportunity to harvest billions, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of trees and make jobs and everything else. And you could do it at a rate that's sustainable, meaning you just keep planting trees and you never run out of trees. Am I wrong to think of it that way?
No, we demonstrated that was right. They probably would do things in the 70s and 80s that we wouldn't do now. But it's a matter of modifying what works rather than abandoning it. And that's what's happened. And that's why that's another argument why this isn't global warming. Is it only global warming on federal lands where all the fires are happening and not happening on Indian lands and private lands? Well, it's global, so that argument is out the window. It's total mismanagement. It was predicted from the beginning, and they're making the situation worse by not salvaging the snags and dead wood that has been the results of these fires since the 1990s, but certainly since 2017 and 2020.
That is Dr. Bob Zybak, a forest scientist, president of Northwest Maps, author of The Great Fires, Indian Burning and Catastrophic Forest Fires in the Oregon Coast Range. Glad to be with you. Always glad to get your calls on a First Amendment Friday. Coming up next, have you heard about the CDC offering advice for men on how to feed babies with their breasts?